So George's talking about headaches. I don't have much of a headache anymore, but I sure got a sore throat. And I guess everything go along with it for a while. Camp meeting time coming up. Everybody gets sick. And everybody gets sort of down in the dumps. But I pray we'll get out of that. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. We're going to read tonight. We've been the last two Wednesday nights on the topic of the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll be dealing with that for number of weeks. Tonight will be the third. And it says, but verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. We've been dealing with the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit and how that they ought to be active in our life and how they ought to be very prevalent in the life of a child of God, in the Christian's life. And you'll notice here that there are nine different categories or nine different avenues that the Holy Spirit directs us into, the fruit of the Spirit. You have love, joy, and peace. Those are the two that we've dealt with, the third one tonight. And those have to do with the heart. They have to do with the inner man, have to do with what we really are. We have love, we have joy, we have peace. All that comes from the inside. Then you'll notice there that the next three, you have long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And that has to do with other people, those that are around us. You have gentleness, you have goodness, you have long-suffering toward people that are around you and others that we would talk about. And then you have faith, meekness, and temperance. And those are those things that would be dealing between us and the Lord. And so when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you're dealing with yourself, you're dealing with others, and you're dealing with the Lord. And so that pretty well takes in everything. And if we take care of ourselves, if we take care of others, and take care of ourselves with the Lord, then we'll be all right in this world, and things will go well, and the Lord will bless. And so we're dealing with this subject, the fruit of the Spirit. The first one we dealt with was love. Then last week we looked at joy, how that there is a plan of joy and a program, how that God gives us all the things in the Scriptures to really give us joy. And then tonight we want to look at this thing that very few people have, and that's the word peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now today we're living in a world that is in much turmoil. There's problems everywhere. Somalia, there's problems in Israel, there's problems in Africa, there's problems everywhere. Very little is known about what peace is all about. Very few people experience the real understanding of having complete peace with themselves and complete peace with God. And so that's what we want to look at and to deal with in these next few moments here. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. We'll leave out the other two and just use it that way. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. I want us to think, first of all, and before a person could ever have peace, of course you know that there has to be salvation in that individual's life. There's nobody that has peace that is not saved. Now they may look peaceful and they may act like everything's well, but down deep in their soul there is no peace. There's no peace to the wicked, and the Scripture very clearly tells us that, because peace comes from faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, by living close to the Lord, by living in that close relationship and fellowship with Him. We have peace in our life. We have peace in our heart. We have peace around us because we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the giver of peace. Not only does He give us love, not only does He give us joy, but He gives us peace. And we'll be noticing that. And it only comes through salvation. Now, a lot of people experience some kind of experience that they have, but it's not salvation. A lot of folks have different things that they say happen to them in their life, but they never peace, and there's something wrong with a salvation that does not offer and does not give a complete peace in this world. Because the Lord tells us in His Word that as a Christian, that we are to have and we will have that peace that comes from Him, and it comes by faith in the Son of God. And so a salvation that people talk about that does not offer peace is not a salvation at all. A salvation that does not give an understanding of having contentment in your life and knowing the joys of the Lord and the peace of God is really not a salvation that can be usable and is useful in the life of individuals. I don't understand why a lot of people even go to church, because as they go, they have no peace, and there's no hope there in the doors of that house that is called a church. And so we find the Scriptures
Scripture gives us detail after detail about peace that we have because of our faith in the Son of God. Peace comes not only because of faith, but it comes because of forgiveness. I'm glad tonight that I can say I've been forgiven of my sin. Those things have been washed away. They've been wiped away. The Bible says that our sins have been put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and they're cast away as far as the east is from the west. And so we know that our sins have been forgiven. That brings a real peace. It doesn't matter what condition we find ourselves in and what problems may come to us, but to know that we're saved, to know that we're born again, to know that if we're to draw our last breath, we're going to heaven. You know, I never pillow my head at night. Now, a lot of times we may lay down and have problems that we're trying to work out and things that we go over in our minds and our hearts. But as a Christian, I can say that I never pillow my head at night and wonder whether or not if I die, I'm going to heaven. You know why? Because I have the peace of God in my heart that my sins have been forgiven, that my sins have been taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thank God for that peace that comes by knowing that we have been forgiven. A little slogan that I'm sure many of you have heard or seen somewhere. It says, we're not perfect, just forgiven. I thank God we are. We are forgiven. And in this world of imperfections, and this body of imperfections, and this mind that's imperfect, I thank God we have can have peace in knowing that I may not be perfect, I may not have everything just as it ought to be, but I can know that I'm saved. I can know that my sins have been placed under the blood of Calvary, under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a song in our songbook that says, "You ask me why I'm happy. Well, I'll just tell you why. You know why? My sins are gone." There's the peace that comes in knowing that we have our sin and that sin question taken care of in our life. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse number 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Now, my friend, that gives a real peace because we know that our sins have been forgiven and we have everlasting life. Why? Is it because we do this or we hold on to something good or we try good works? No, the Scripture says because we have everlasting life, because we have believed on him. Salvation is in a person. It's not in a plan. It's not in a program. It's in a person. And that person is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, that peace that comes by knowing that we've been forgiven. You know, there's something about that word, forgiven. You can have problems with your friends, and you can have difficulties even in your own home, and have problems come up and say, "Well, I forgive you." And there's something that is something very personal about this thing of saying, "I forgive you." It's something very personal when somebody can say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." You know, that's what we do when we go to the Lord in salvation. We say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I'm in a terrible condition. I'm a sorry sinner." And the Lord says, "I forgive you." And that's the same relationship that we are to have in our Christian life with one another and with each other, is that we can say that "I'm sorry" and can say, "I forgive you." There may have been something said or done that would be wrong, but there's nothing wrong with saying, "I forgive you." And there's nothing wrong with saying, "I'm sorry." And that's exactly what the Scripture says here, that we have forgiveness in God because we believed on him, and he says, "Forgiven." Salvation is that which brings about real peace in our life because of our faith, because of the forgiveness of God. Then peace comes after we've been forgiven. After our faith has been exercised in him, we have peace because we follow him. We're in that fellowship. We're in that letting him lead us and guide us and direct us in every path of the way. And the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's just simply following him. Now, that wasn't to be saved. That wasn't to make them some better person or make them some better Christian. That was to for them to follow the Lord, that they would follow at his command and at his call. And he makes them he made them what he wanted them to be. Not fishers out there on the Sea of Galilee, but fishers of men. That's what we're doing. That's what we try to do. To go out and find people and go out and work and struggle and even have a good time. You know, fishing, if you really do it, Brother Ralph, it's a job, isn't it? It's hard. So you fellas that fish all the time, I mean, it's out. You say, "Well, I enjoy it." Yeah, but it's hard. It takes time. It takes some effort. And sometimes you get frustrated. Same way with fishing for men. It takes an effort. It's hard sometimes. You enjoy it as a Christian, as a child of God. Now, that first time you knock on a door, you're scared to death. So the lady said tonight, I've never done this before. And the other one said, I've got to have somebody that does all the talking. I said, I don't believe y'all have any problem with that. And they just have no problem with that. And you may be just a little fearful. But after you get to knowing people and seeing people, all of a sudden you begin to enjoy it. All of a sudden you say, boy, this is not as bad as you think it is. And the devil, he'll put everything in your mind. But the Scripture says that we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And by following Him, we have peace. We have peace with ourselves, knowing that we're following and doing what the Lord would have us to do. You see, every Christian, we have the wrong idea in most churches. Most people think that the Sunday school teachers and the deacons and the preachers, they're the only ones that have the responsibility to go out and tell people about the Lord. Well, that's wrong. It's everybody's responsibility. Every Christian, if you're born again, it's your responsibility to take an opportunity and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, you're following the example that God gave us in the Scripture. And then all of a sudden, you have a real peace come upon you and say, well, that's not as bad as I thought it was. That's not as bad as I was afraid it would be. And so we find that salvation is brought about by our faith and our forgiveness, and then peace in following the Lord Jesus Christ brings about a fellowship with others and a fellowship with Him. Notice the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so that fellowship, knowing that we're cleansed from our sin, having that good fellowship and relationship that comes with God and comes with salvation. You see, when a person's born again, you're birthed into a family. Just like you're birthed physically into your family, or you're birthed spiritually into the family of God. And you have a relationship. You have a relationship. You have a father now. The Bible says that Jesus told those scribes and Pharisees, He said, ye are of your father the devil. Now, they had a father. Everybody that's lost, they have a father. They may not realize it. They have a spiritual father, and he's the devil. But when a person becomes a child of God, when he becomes a Christian, he has a new father, and he's the Father of heaven. He's the God of glory. He's Jehovah God. And so we find that we have a relationship there that is binding. And all of us, whether or not you want to admit it tonight, whether or not you want to even agree with it tonight, as a Christian, and everybody that's in this building, we are related by blood, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there are different families here tonight that's represented, and your family's by blood relation. But we are also related by blood. And it's that perfect blood that was shed on Calvary that would give us the salvation. And the Scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And if this world ever is to have peace, they're going to have to recognize the Prince of Peace. They're going to have to understand who He is, and not reject Him, and not spit upon Him, and not mock and ridicule the things of God. And so the only people tonight that have this peace that I'm talking about are those of us that have that relationship with the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have that blood relationship in knowing Him as a child of God, as a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. You're going to name what all you want to name, all those different denominations. I'm talking about a blood relationship as a Christian, as a child of God. Now, there are some differences that I think are very, very important. There are some things that have to be stood for, and some things that according to the Word of God, that are right. But when it comes down to this thing of a child of God, just because you're a Baptist don't mean anything. Really, I know a lot of Baptists I doubt is going to get to heaven. That doesn't mean anything. But what matters is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? Amen. What matters is, what have you done with the blood that's been shed for you and has been put there upon the cross of Calvary and was shed by the Son of God? What have you done with that? That's what really matters. That's what brings real peace. That's what brings that understanding and that fruit of the Spirit that is peace. Then we not only have salvation, but thank God in the Lord Jesus Christ we have security. The Scripture tells us in Philippians that our minds can be free. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now we have our minds that are free. Philippians 4, what we just read. He gives us peace in our hearts and our souls and our minds. And we have that just that calmness because we know that we've been born again. We know that we have life and have it eternal. Our minds are free from worry. Our minds are free from doubt about our eternity. I'm glad I don't have to worry about, am I going to heaven? I'm glad if somebody asks me, I don't have to say, well, I'm trying to go to heaven. I'm glad I don't have to say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I can say upon the authority of the Word of God, I know I'm going to heaven because what Jesus did for me, what I trusted and took the Word of God at face value, I accepted Him as my Savior. I know that I'm going to heaven. And so we find that our minds can be free from worry of hell. I don't worry about hell, do you? I don't worry about going to hell. I don't do that because we have that security in Christ. We have that love that comes through Him, and it gives our hearts and our minds and our souls that we're free from worry and free from doubt. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope for heaven. I desire heaven. I long for heaven. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I haven't seen heaven yet, and neither have you. But I'm going to see it. You say, you sound awful sure. I am sure. I am sure of that. You say, you sound awful confident. I am confident. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so we see that we may not understand all of it, but we can trust Him in all things. We can trust Him in everything of our life. I'm glad it's not dependent upon what I do, but it's dependent upon what He did on Calvary. Our minds are free not only from worry and from doubt, but our minds can be free from unbelief. The Scripture says if we please God, we must please Him by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, again, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder to you and I that seek after Him and look after Him. Our minds can have a freedom from unbelief because of our faith in the Son of God that brings that security and brings that peace, and that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you peace. It's not what some man writes. It's not what some preacher says. But the Holy Spirit of God gives you peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's active and working and should be active in every child of God's life as a knowledge and as a desire, knowing that we're going to go to heaven when we die. Our minds can be free from fear. Fear destroys faith. Faith and fear can't get along together. They're just opposites. And if you have faith in God, you don't have to fear the world. If you have faith in the things of the Lord, then you don't have to fear what man might do or what people might do. We don't have to fear what the devil can do, because we're in the hand of God and we're in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're surrounded by the Holy Spirit. He lives within us and He directs our paths and He helps us in everything. And so the fruit of the Spirit is peace that comes by salvation. And then thank God for that security that we have. And then I'm glad thirdly that we have that satisfaction that only God can give. Satisfied in the Lord, peace. The Bible says, Psalm number 29, verse number 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. That's a blessing of God. Somebody says, well, I don't have any blessings. Well, if you have peace in your heart, you have a blessing from God. Notice that verse again, Psalm 29, 11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. Are you born again? He'll give you strength. Then not only that, it says the Lord will bless His people with peace. Peace that comes only from God. The Lord will give peace to those that will dedicate and will work and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a promise of God that He'll give us a power that we can go on and serve Him and be what we ought to be, the power of God upon our lives to be diligent in the work of the Lord and to serve Him and just to go on and do those things we know we ought to do. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect what? Peace. Whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. That's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. If you want to do away with despair, and if you want to do away with troubles and problems, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Our minds many times get on other things, and when they ought to be on the Lord. I'm guilty. All of us are guilty of that. Our minds get on other areas and other things. When if we just keep our minds on Him, that will keep Him in perfect peace. You want to lose your peace? Take your eyes off the Lord. You want to lose your peace? Take your mind off of Christ. You want to lose your peace? Get out of the will of God and out of the way of God. And all of a sudden, all that power that was there and all the peace and the satisfaction, all of those things are gone. Why? Because we let our eyes drift off of the central focal point of the entire Word of God, and that's Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, He is the one. He's the only one. You can find Him in every book of the Bible. You can find Him from Genesis to Revelation, all those in between. You can find Him in about every chapter of the Word of God. Jesus is that predominant personality. And if you keep your mind on Him, God says, I'll give you perfect peace, that blessing. It says, whose mind is stayed on thee because thou trusteth in thee. If we trust in Him, if we'll look to Him, it brings about that satisfaction that comes only from God. The power of God, the world, there's a lot of troubles today. I don't have to tell you that. All you got to do is open up a newspaper. All you got to do is turn on the TV just a little while. All you got to do is turn on the radio just for a moment, and you'll find there's a lot of problems. You know, there's a lot of folks not just just so sad Michael Jordan resigned and retired. I mean, they're just all of Chicago's in mourning. I mean, that's a lot of troubles and problems. That's very frivolous to what some people have. A man that can play ball and do all that he did, and the whole world says, my, what a loss. I don't feel too much loss. I like to watch him play ball, sure. But I don't feel too much. I mean, if he wants to quit, he wants to quit. That's his business. And so we find the world says, this gives me peace. This gives me satisfaction. This is what I want. This is what I desire. All of a sudden, that's gone. Now they're all in mourning. Trouble. The world's full of tribulation. The world's full of troubles. The world's full of trials. But Jesus can overcome all those things. Jesus can do more than any man that ever lived can do for you. He can do more than ever Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, all the other crowd, all of them put together. Jesus is the one that really matters. And those things are frivolous. And those things will pass away. But the peace that God gives does not pass away. It does not end. We have the power of God in our hearts and our lives. The Bible says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I've given you these things, I've spoken these things to you, that you have peace. And all of a sudden, Jesus, knowing our ideas and our notion, He said, I know in the world you have tribulation. He said, I want you to have peace. The world gives you tribulation. Don't worry about the world. He says, because I've already overcome the world. I've already taken care of the world. And thank God, just in a little while, we'll see that manifested. We'll see Him take care not only of the world spiritually, but physically in every other way. So we have the power of God working and active in our life, that we have that satisfaction in Him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 14, for He is our peace. He, Jesus. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Here we find the apostle writing concerning the Jew and the Gentile. And Paul says, He is our peace. Whether we be Jew or whether we be Gentile, Jesus is our peace. Whether we be red, yellow, black, white, American, Indian, Chinese, Taiwan, whatever country you want to think about, He is our peace. That's why we support missionaries, because they need the same peace that we have tonight. That's why we send folks around the world. That's why we pray for them. That's why we send special offerings. Why? Because there are folks everywhere that need the peace that we've got. He is our peace. And He says here that He's broken down that wall of partition. You know, everybody. Now, I say everybody, that includes the preacher. We all have our problems with this thing of, well, I'm not. They're not like me, so that makes them something wrong. What's that called? Prejudiced? Yeah, we all have that. But Jesus, in Him, all those things are broken down. I'm no better than anybody else. I am what I am by the grace of God. You're no better than anybody else. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, what side of the tracks they're on. Jesus died for all of us. And without Him, we'd all be in the same condition, all going to hell. All be there and should be there. But thank God we have that partition that's been broken down, that wall that separated us from God has been departed and broken down, and those walls ought to be broken down between the people of God. And so we find the Scripture tells us that peace comes, and we have that by salvation. We have that in security. We have that being satisfied in the Lord. Peace brings about rest to our souls. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. But it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Whatever rules in your heart is the one that controls your heart. Whatever rules in your life is the one that controls your life. That's why we have back here above the baptistry, Jesus is Lord. He ought to be the ruler in your heart and life. He ought to be the one that rules my heart and life. Many times He's not. Many times He's not in all of us, but He is the one. But the Bible says here that He is our peace, and the peace of God, let that rule in your heart. So therefore that means let Him rule in your heart. Let him have final say. You have a question about something. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible ought to have the final say, the answer of that. What would the Lord do? What would I do if Jesus was here? What would I do? How does he rule and reign? So we find that the peace that comes, the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, will give you rest to your life. It'll give you rest if he rules in your heart. It has given us redemption. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Thank God tonight we have made peace. Isn't it a great thing to see enemies come together and make peace? Now, you say, well, I never was an enemy of God. The Bible says you were. We were at enmity against him. We were enemies of his. We despised the very things that were righteous and holy. But it says that we have made peace through the blood of his cross. And by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether the things in the earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20, we've made peace through his blood. We have peace tonight, that which rules in our life. The fruit of the Spirit, that is peace, is given to us because the blood was shed on Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light. Thank God there's where we come to know Jesus in the full and free pardon of our sin. Down at the cross. Those old songs about the cross and the scriptures about the cross, that's what brings that redemption and peace in our heart and life. Through his blood, we not only have forgiveness, but that forgiveness brings that peace. Do you have peace in your life tonight? Are things well in your life? It has to start with salvation. It has to start there with that love of God in your life. It's brought about by knowing that you're saved. It's brought about by being satisfied in him, knowing that rest and that redemption and relaxation that we have in him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I believe this is probably Brother Jim McGaugh's favorite verse. I've heard him quote it 100 times, I guess. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, that scripture says, therefore, being justified. Let's look back at Romans 5 for a moment. Romans chapter number 5. It starts out with the word therefore. That means go back and read what has just been said in chapter 4. Chapter 4 talks about justification, how that we are justified by faith, how that it gives you illustration there, how that we are saved not of the law but by faith in verse 16. It says, or verse 13, says, for the promise, this is chapter 4 of Romans, for the promise that he should be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You see, Abraham had a promise. It wasn't just a physical promise, but it was a spiritual promise. God told Abraham, said, Abraham, your seed's going to be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. The sand of the sea is that physical seed of Abraham that is the Jew today that's living and going to live till Jesus comes. But that spiritual seed that God told Abraham to look at the stars of the sky, that's you and I. And here, the scripture says that that was given to Abraham was not through the law, but it was through faith. Then verse 14 says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. And where no law is, there is no transgression. If there's no law out there, then you don't do anything wrong. That's why it's crazy to relax laws. They say, well, if you don't have a law that it's against the law to smoke marijuana, then you won't be breaking the law. Well, that doesn't make it right or wrong. If you got a law out there, then you need to abide by that law. But where there's no law, there's no offense. Now notice here what it says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Thank God what we have tonight is by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. What seed is that? The seed of faith. That's you and I. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not. Notice that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and and being fully persuaded that he had the promised, so he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore being justified by faith. You see, our chapter divisions were put in there by men, and sometimes they're in the wrong place. They're there just to help us find things, and chapter 4 goes on. We want to read chapter 5, verse 1, just start there. No, it doesn't start there. It starts in chapter 4. And it says, verse 25 of 4 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Why do we have peace with God? Because we've been justified. How are we justified? We're justified by faith. We have salvation by faith in the Son of God, and therefore we can rest in Him. And boy, I tell you what, every once in a while, it's just good to lay down, isn't it? Every once in a while, it's just good to rest. Every once in a while, it's good just to kick your mind out of gear and turn everything off and turn the lights off and just lay down and rest. You can relax. I have a hard time doing that. I've got too much energy. We was talking this afternoon. I said, sometimes I need just to learn how to stop. I go home and sit down and think of 20 things I need to do. And usually get up and do 15 of them. But we need to learn how to stop. We need to learn how to relax. Boy, I'm glad spiritually speaking, I can relax in Him. I can just lay down and rest and relax and have knowledge that I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Just to say, here I am. I'm what I am. I'm who I am. Everything that we are by the grace of God. And then the Scripture tells us the fruit of the Spirit is peace. If you have peace tonight, it's only because you're saved. If you're saved tonight, it's only because of the Holy Spirit. You never, never does a person ever get saved without the Holy Spirit of God convicting, convincing him or her of their sin. So the fruit of the Spirit is peace. That which is active and working in my life and your life ought to be there continually, because that's part of that work of God that has redeemed us and has revived our soul and our life and has revealed these things that we can have real peace and relaxation and rest in Him. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We looked at that. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. We looked at that. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. We've looked at that now. And all three of those have to do with your inner person. Love, joy, peace. You'll never have love without knowing God. You'll never have joy without knowing God. And you'll never have peace without knowing God. It's all in your heart. It's all in here. It's what you have because of Him. Because of the salvation that was wrought in Christ Jesus when He died upon Calvary's tree. May God help us to have the fruit of the Spirit active on the inside. Love, joy, peace. Then when those three are active, the next three will be active to other people. Those next three we'll look at. Those will be to help others. But you got to take care of yourself first. Can't ever help anybody till you take care of yourself. Can't ever be a blessing to somebody else until everything's well, everything's right. So God help us to have these things working and active in our life as a child of God. Let's stand tonight. I'd like for us to sing page, I believe it's 125 in our song book. Now, Brother Ralph and I, we don't discuss this stuff. Really, we don't. The song says, wonderful peace. Wonderful peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. The peace of God, page 125 in that red song book. Let's just sing all these verses tonight as we close. And if you need to do business, if you need to come to the altar, you know the altar is always open. You do business for the Lord. But thank God for the sweet peace that we have in Him. Page 125, let's sing together.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strained it unceasingly called for my soul. Peace. sweetly in Jesus' control.
Verse 2 says, what a treasure I have. Well, what a treasure we have in the peace of God. And this wonderful peace buried deep in my heart and my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away. Nothing gonna reach the power of God in you, and the peace of God in your soul. Nothing going to mine it out. That third stanza says, I'm resting tonight in this wonderful peace. Resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I am kept from all danger by night and by day. His glory is flooding my soul. Thank God for the peace that we have. And then verse number 4. Somebody says, why is that in there like that? And me thinks. I don't have any idea. It fits all right. When I rise to that city of peace, when the author of peace I shall see. Oh, thank God we're going to see the Lord one day. We're going to see the King. Isaiah said, I shall the King. The King of glory. One day we're going to see the same one. I probably will do the same thing Isaiah did. He said, oh, man of unclean lips and unclean heart. Living amongst people of unclean minds and lives. Thank God He's the Lord of glory. He's the King. King of kings, Lord of lords, coming one day. We'll thank Him for the blessing of peace we have in our life. Let's sing that fourth stanza again, Brother Ralph.
And things will arrive to that city.
Sing out now, peace. Peace with